get the word!
Yep, that means it's time for a brand new episode of Bid Nerds, your daily nerd on the most interesting car of the day. And today's car is pretty darn interesting. My partner, Michael Deeb, is coming to you from San Francisco. I'm in the Container Park in downtown Las Vegas. We do this show every single day. Every weekday, right? Isn't that what we do, right?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, we're always podcasting.
Always podcasting. Our friends at God and Classic, God and Porsche of Las Vegas, they support the show, so we do it. We make it happen so that you guys can watch it and play along. Yeah, if you're new to the episode or new to the show and you're like, what do you guys do here? It's kind of like The Price is Right, only with classic cars. We watch all the auction sites. We find the most interesting one. We have a conversation about that car. We talk about it with you. And then we find out what happens with the actual auction result after we make a prediction. So we marry our prediction to the final results, and we reveal to all of you how wrong we always are. We are constantly wrong. So don't ever listen to us. Don't take financial advice from us. We don't know what we're talking about. That's just a little disclaimer for you. All right, Michael Deeb, I'm rambling a little bit here. I think I need it's a Monday morning when we're recording.
It's coffee.
This, so I need some coffee or some liquor or both. Today's car, the most interesting car. I love this car. You're absolutely right. Let's get to it. What is it?
Okay, so Cars and Bids has had an inflection of money invested into the platform, and as such, they are getting, I think, kind of a new brand of car. But man, John, does it get more niche in the Porsche market than an air-cooled Safari build? This is the niche of all air-cooled cars. So what we're talking about on Cars and Bids is this 1985 Porsche 911 Carrera Targa Safari build. Really cool looking car, I have to say, right off the bat. The car is showing about 210,000 miles, true mileage unknown, clean title, and the car is offered out of Chicago, Illinois. The 3.2 liter Carrera motor has been rebuilt and punched out to 3.4 liter. As such, I would like to think it's probably making a considerable amount more power and torque. It's got a 5-speed manual, it's a rear wheel drive, and the lift kit that is on it is made by Elephant Racing. Now, if you're not familiar with Elephant Racing, it's a company that's here in the Bay Area, and they build really cool components to develop for either the street or for the racetrack your air-cooled 911. One of the latest things they've added to their very extensive catalog is a Safari kit for old 911s and, believe it or not, old 924s and 944s, John. So this is one of the first cars I've seen come to market with a Safari build where it looks like they entrusted Elephant Racing to supply all of the parts to get this car up off the ground, remain rigid, and be able to take it truly off-road. So limited slip differential, 5-speed manual, center exit exhaust, and then they probably spent, I'm guessing, with the components and the installation, probably close to $20,000 alone on the suspension. It's got the big high light bar across the hood, and that redone interior, John, I have to tell you, I'm not a huge fan of brown, but that brown marbled leather look with the plaid interior, the really cool 917 style shift knob and a black Proto Tipo, and then this, believe it or not, that it came from the factory. Are you familiar, John, with nutmeg brown metallic as a rare Porsche color? I have seen some cool brown metallics, but this one I feel like is new to my eyes, at least with the name in front of me. There you have it, JP. Can Doug DeMiro sell arguably a very cool, I'm thinking kind of high-touch Safari build using an 84.32 Carrera and spending the money for the real good stuff from Elephant Racing? This looks like it might not be everybody's colorway, but it looks like a really nice car. JP, you know these better than I do. What do you think of this build? Is this a love it and take it, or would you leave it alone? I will point out right off the bat that they put the Carrera side script decal too low, and it really bugs me. The aesthetic of the decal is incorrect, and it hurts my eyes. So, John, what do you think of the car?
Yeah, I love this. I want a Targa, and I want a Safari so bad. This car is bitchin'. This would be so much fun out here in the desert. Does it say who built this thing?
No, you talk and I'll read, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I got the chance to visit our friends up at Kelly Moss Racing in Wisconsin recently, and they're kind of the guys that are known to really build these darn
things. Yeah, they are.
And you know, those cars are $250,000 and worth it. The amount of bespoke work that was done to them. This car, doesn't look like it's quite up to that caliber, but it sure looks close. You know, I like this, that this thing has 200,000 miles on the chassis. Why not? That's the kind of car that you want to do something like this to. You're right about the Carrera script. That doesn't bug me as much as the fact that I just don't think it should be there at all. And I think on something like this, you pull the rocker panels, you know, and shave the chin underneath so that you have a little bit of skid, steeper approach angle. I'd be concerned about the bottoms of that rocker panel rubbing on those tires in a more extreme off-road situation. These things really aren't, you know, people think, oh, it's an off-road 911, so you're going to be crawling over rocks. It's not really what it's for. It's more about ripping through sand and loose stuff and dirt roads and rally roads and stuff like that. This isn't for crawling over, you know, obstacles and stuff. But, you know, you're going to want to be able to take a steeper angle at some potential obstructions, especially like if you're in a Baja situation where you're hauling ass through the desert and you can't really see that far ahead, and all of a sudden something's upon you really quick and it's a little higher than you thought. You don't want to take out your chin spoiler because of it. All that said, this car looks really nice and a lot of fun. I actually really like the interior, as goofy as it looks with all the crazy plaid and stuff like that.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I like that old leather style. I kind of feel like, though, that it should have been like the all leather instead of going with the plaid thing. The thing about the plaid and the cloth on an open top car that you're going to be taking off road, if you ever actually take it off road, going to get dirt and grime and dust in there. And dust gets into the cloth, and something like this plaid, it's going to look like crap. That's what I don't understand. These people build these cars with these amazing capabilities, but they don't keep in mind what you're going to be doing with it. Like, you know, you look at like a Jeep Wrangler or Defender and stuff like that, and they've got like rubber floors and you know, plastic door cards and stuff like that, because they know it's going to get crap all over it, and they want to make it easy to clean. Well, this car, if you're out in the desert and you're ripping through and you've got that, you know, romantically you're envisioning yourself in that dry lake bed with a rooster tail of dust behind you driving into the sunset, right? Well, the interior of this car is going to be wrecked, and you're going to have to get a, you know, $500 detail every time you go out and do that stuff. That's not what you want. You want to be able to go out and do that stuff in this car and have it look still decent afterwards. At least so is this all show and no go? Is all this stuff just for looks? It's certainly got the right component. It's got the big crossbars
and
the front boot, and all the Elephant Racing stuff is great. It can do the job. It's just, will it? Or will the buyer of this car be one of those people that shows up to Cars and Coffee and like a G-Square G-Wagon, the most off-road it ever does, is, you know, going to the mall and it snows while they're inside. I do love this car and really do want a Safari someday, but don't know if this will be the one, especially because it looks like, my guess is this car will probably bring some money. I think Doug's getting more eyeballs on his site, and you know, he's got a lot of weirdos on his site. So weirdos like weird cars like this. Will it bring big money? What do you think it's going to bring?
Well, John, so here's the deal. Our car is going to close basically 4 days from now. It's currently sitting at $35,911 on 9 bids. But by all accounts, JP, this looks like $100,000. I mean, you know, this is with the motor and everything, this is probably $100,000 to $150,000, build. So I'm going to go a little higher than my initial bid, just because talking about it with you kind of gets me all lathered up. So I'm going to go $105,000, but I'm not confident it'll sell at that price. I would think that the consignor is probably trying to get somewhere north of $125,000 for it. I just don't know if they will be able to do it on Cars and Bids. But I'm going to go $105,000 and send it back to you. There is a lot of money spent on the motor and the suspension and all the accessories that went into this, because the interior and everything, there's a lot of money spent here. It could have, I mean, it could, might have spent $200,000 on this thing. You never know, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten burned before when we fail to realize, you know, okay, that engine is a big deal, 3.4. But yeah. It looks like it's got stock intakes and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, okay, well, it's a hopped up engine, which is great. But the chassis still does have 200,000 miles on it. I'm going to say it doesn't break 100. I'm going to say 95. Okay. And I agree with you that I think there's a very strong possibility of this thing failing to sell. As weird as the audience on Cars and Bids is, and with the increased attention that he's gotten, I think that increased attention helps him sell supercars. If you have a rare Lamborghini or something, you know, like that, your Cars and Bids may have been questionable as to whether or not you want to sell your GT3 RS there before. But something this obscure, I think Doug's going to have a hard, unless Doug buys it himself, which he has $37 million or I guess $36 million now that he bought his CGT. I think this car is going to have a hard time really finding the right place for it. I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. I almost think that P-Car Market would be a better place than Cars and Bits for this car.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's brutal.
Not that I would suggest anyone doing that. But, you know, Porsches do bring some big money occasionally on P-Car Market. This is definitely something that should have been on Marked or BAT. All right, guys, we're going to go in the future, and we're going to find out what exactly happens with this car. Now's the time to go ahead and put your bids in at the bottom. Hit the subscribe, like, and notification button if you haven't done that already. We appreciate those of you who have, and we love the Nerd Herd, and we love reading your comments. These are going to be fun to watch. We will find out what happened with this car in just a couple of minutes. See you then. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin, this guy.
1989 linen gray metallic G50 cab.
Is that gonna be for sale?
It is gonna be for sale. The car only has 65,000 miles.
Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas.
If you love watching car videos on YouTube, you got to check out my channel, The Rally Show.
Oh, this car. I am driving.
Yeah, buddy, this car. Have you guys checked out The Rami Show yet? Please do so. You know, we've got another sister channel. We've got a bunch of channels maybe you guys haven't checked out. We do a weekly podcast called the Dirt or Die Porsche Podcast.
What's up, Dwayne?
Shout out to my partner, Dwayne Wick, on that one. We usually have the whole Vegas crew kind of gets together on that. We got Chef coming out all the time. Rami's always there. We're in the Rami studio, so Rami comes down. He helps out. He's a good time. Jason Alter always hangs out. So we have a good time. We pretty much just drink scotch and talk ish about Porsche stuff. We just got, we were talking about Luftkult coming up, Luft 9, and kind of our plans there. And we got Patrick Long to patch in. Patrick Long wasn't in the studio, but he came in. He was flying somewhere. What's that?
Live at the airport, right?
He was at some municipal airport in the middle of who knows where, you know, being that guy. He's like, I can't be here long, guys. I'm being that jerk that's really loud in the airport. So that was really cool of him to join us. Check out that episode. It's up now on Dirt or Die Porsche Podcast on the YouTube channel. And give them a subscribe as well if you haven't already. Give us a subscribe and a like and, hit that notification button if you haven't done that. All right, we're here in the future. Everyone's waiting around trying to figure out what happened with this Targa. I'm sitting here all weekend going, do I sell my convertible 911 to get one of these? And I was like going, I don't think, the money I would get for my 964 cab, I don't think would be able to afford me a pretty cool Safari Targa, or at least I thought. What happened here, Deeb? What's going on?
John, this 1985 Porsche 911 Carrera Targa Safari in nutmeg metallic got nutmegged on Cars and Bids. I said $105,000. You took the under at $95,000. No surprises there. But I am surprised. Like, I'm not surprised that Cars and Bids failed to sell this car, but man, they only got $63,000 where the bidding tapered off. It failed to sell at 63 grand on 29 bids. 29 bids, by the way, John, was our low bid count for the week last week on the cars that we covered. You won this one, but that's a dubious honor because this car, you know, was $32,000 under your bid. So the bummer here is you and I and the audience are left wondering where the real value is on this car. Like, where was the reserve set? What are they looking for? Is this car still for sale? Maybe we'll find it in a classified somewhere. Maybe it'll pop up on P-Car Market, which would be, you know, not too shocking. That seems to be the trend. But it's a bummer that we don't know what they're really looking for this car and how close our bids are in reflection of what they invested in this car and what they were trying to get out of it. Certainly if it had sold for $63,000, I know you would have been chewing your desk right now going, damn it, I would absolutely trade my 964 for a Targa Safari. But 63 didn't get it done. So what's it going to take? I wish we knew the answer to that one. But John, I send it back to you. As niche as a Safari Targa is, and as well as Car and Bids has been doing this year, let's say first quarter 2023, I'm still kind of not too shocked that Doug's audience isn't the right audience for a niche, like super niche air-cooled like this. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm shocked. 63,000, God, that's probably not even near what they wanted for the car. But I'm also not shocked that Cars and Bids can only get 63 for a bid on this car. Would you agree with that sentiment?
100%. This was the wrong platform. P-Car Market would have been the better platform than Cars and Bids. Cars and Bids is getting better at a lot of things. They're getting better at like selling exotic cars, more expensive cars. Okay, great. Yep. You know, they've got a lot of, you know, crypto bros hanging out on Cars and Bids. You got a lot of normies coming. I mean, I think they do well selling, you know, normal stuff. They sell a bunch of SUVs. They sell a bunch of EVs, you know. If you have a Tesla or something, sell it on Cars and Bids. I think that's probably the best platform.
Yeah, Cars and Bids, your Rivian Superstore online.
Yeah. Or a 991 S. With a PDK or something like that. Yeah, Cars and Bids is your platform. But you start getting into air-cooled stuff, all right, maybe if it's blue chip. You know, we talked about on a previous episode recently how we think there's kind of a cap on non-branded hot rods. So, like, if you have a Singer or a Gunther Works, those cars will continue to appreciate just like a blue chip Porsche air-cooled 911, you know, classic wood. But you start getting into the weird stuff, you start getting into hot rods, you better have an amazing engine. If it doesn't have an amazing engine, it seems like, you know, $100,000 if it's just like a stock engine. You start getting a badass engine, the tops, even if you bespoke every last bit and try to make your own Singer and spend the money to do it, you're talking $350,000, and that's about it. So you get something weirdo like this car. Who the heck wants this car? I love it. I know you dig them, but this is not a car that, you know, if you don't have a classic 911, this definitely ain't going to be the first one. You know, this is for the guy who has two or three or four or a dozen or a bunch of other stuff and is like, yeah, these are neat. Let's add that to the mix. And that guy has the money to get it, but they ain't hanging around on Cars and Bids. They're not there. They're looking at BAT for all the weird stuff or the obscure, really cool stuff, or they're maybe even looking at P-Car Market. Cars and Bids just ain't it, guys. I don't know what the seller was thinking, and Patootie agrees with me. That was a bad idea, putting this car on Cars and Bids.
Yeah. Right, Patootie? Yeah. She said that result was rough.
Producer of the show, Patootie, everyone. Nice work, Deep. I don't know, you know, and we talked about it before the break too. It's like over the weekend, I have a backdate 911 and I love driving it, and we were driving out there by Lake Mead, and there's just amazing, beautiful desert scenery, and there's all these really cool off-road roads that I'd love to just, you know, drive in the car. I'd love to just go, let's go out there and see what that's like. And in a car like this, you could, but you would just ruin the interior. There's no vacuum is going to get that kind of dust out of, you know, these cloth seats. You know, I mean, yeah, it's got a bunch of leather, but geez, the tartan stuff is going to get ruined by all that dirt. I don't know what they were thinking with this interior. It looks neat, but that is just not functional, man. What do you think? What the hell were they thinking?
Yeah, it's an urban safari car for sure. The way they built it, the way they executed it. It's ironic because it's probably got some of the best safari suspension underneath it. But that interior is too high touch to take out even on a gravel road. You know, like it just like it doesn't make sense. The car is a conundrum. So and that certainly didn't help because he also picked the other conundrum is he picked the wrong platform to try and offload that car. So JP, it wouldn't surprise me if we see this car on P Car Market, and if it does, we'll definitely bring it up. But there you go, failed to sell at $63,000. The bid goes on.
Bid goes on. All right, well, we'll be looking for this car. Maybe there's a bargain to be had in the future. Somebody want to buy a 964 convertible? Target Safari all of a sudden.
John, here's our hot take from the bid nerds. This car failed to sell on Cars and Bids. Look for it in the deal tank next month.
Get those nerds!